It was dark in my heart. You brought light to me, child of darkness. Child of light, when my soul was dry and I needed drink, the water.
Announcements out of the way, and we appreciate you being here today. Amen. Could have gone anywhere, but you chose to come here. Amen. Thank you for that. All right. If you have your Bibles, want to turn with us over in Luke's Gospel in the 10th chapter. Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter. We're going to read verse number 1. We're going to verse number 17. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Verse 17. And the 70 returned again with what? joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's talking about when Satan went up to take over the throne of God and kick God off the throne, but God thumped him back down to this earth. And a third of the angels, that's what he's talking about there. Verse 19, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20, Jesus also said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Title of what we're talking about this morning is The Source of Our Joy. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you, Father, today for how you have so wonderfully blessed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. You've given us, Lord, access to the kingdom of God, that we're part of it. You've written our names down in heaven. And Lord, our name, as little as we are, is in that precious book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And Father, I thank you today for allowing my name to be there, Lord. It's a privilege, Lord, and it just joys me inside to know that my name is written in heaven. And Father, I pray, God, in this room today, Lord, that we'd all begin to just be joyed because our name is written there in heaven, Lord. And you can see it in that book, God, before you, Lord. I love you today and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. The source of our joy. Amen. These disciples was overjoyed because they'd gone out and had a success life. You know, they'd gone out and the devils was even subject to them through the name of Jesus. They was just, check this out. This is awesome. And they come back to Jesus and they're bubbling over the way that, you know, we're supposed to come back to church every time. We just come back and say, Brother David, I went out there and tried some of this thing out. You've been preaching and this thing works, you know. And they're bubbling over. Jesus, this is working. This is wonderful. I mean, the devils are subject to us through thy name, Lord. This is awesome, Lord. And so the Lord just kind of said, well, that ain't nothing to have power over the devil. I was there when he was kicked out of heaven. I mean, God just thumped him out, you know. He says, but look here, understanding all that, he said, don't let that be the source of your joy, but rather that your name is written in heaven. Let that be the source of your joy today. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, no man can come and take that name away, can they? Huh? Except you. He says, you know, the fact that we have authority over the devils. I mean, you know, don't let that be the source of our joy. Don't let the source of our joy be materialism, that how God blesses us so much that, you know, he just blesses us so much. And you know, our life, how many agrees that your life is so much better today since you serve the Lord than when you was in sin? Come on. And don't let the materialism, how God blesses us, don't let that be the source of your joy. But let the source of your joy be that your name is written in heaven, is what he's trying to get across to us. Amen. Don't let the source of your joy be that, like he said in Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Don't let that be the source of your joy, but rather that your name is written in heaven. Don't let the source of your joy be in verse 19 of the same book, Philippians 4:19, where Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, because God takes care of us and you know, just supplies all of our need. Don't let that be the source of your joy. Don't let that be why you serve God. Amen. Amen. But let the joy be that my name is written in heaven. Amen. Don't let the source of your joy be like in Psalm 68:19, that he daily loads us up with his benefits. Amen. And how God blesses us. Amen. So much. Don't let that be the source of your joy. Or Psalms 32:7, where he says that he's our hiding place. And, you know, that you know, he protects us from all trouble. And, you know, how he compasses us with songs of deliverance. I don't have to sing an old down and out out Mully Grub's song, but I can walk around skipping around every day. And don't let that be what makes you happy, that everything just seems to just fall in place with you. Don't let that be the source of your joy. I've even heard some preachers say, well, and my dad used to have a said, he said, man, this thing is wonderful. It's like I've just fell into a bed of roses and I got a big old lily in both hands here. I mean, you know, and I've heard some preachers say, well, this thing ain't no bed of roses. Well, let me tell you, serving God compared to what it was in the world is a bed of roses. Come on. It's according to what you compare it to. A lot of times when you're going out and some of the seniors, I go out and they go and I say, good to have you today, young lady. And they'll say, I'm no young lady. I say, I just compare everybody to Methuselah. See, it's according to what you compare it to. Amen. Methuselah, oldest man. What is about almost 1,000 years old. So everybody's young to that, right? Glory. Don't let it be the fact that he said in Deuteronomy 28 how he said that he'd make us the head and not the tail, and how he said that we'd be above only and not beneath, and how we'd be blessed when we come in and how we'd be blessed when we go out, and how he said that he would make us plenteous in goods and plenteous in the fruit of our body and our cattle and ground, and how he'd make us not to borrow but to lend, with lend and not borrow. Don't let that be the source of your joy. Don't let it be the source of your joy that Psalms 37:4 said that he'd just give us the desires of our heart. Don't let that be what makes you happy, but rather that your name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. Why is that, Brother David? Because this whole world sometimes can get you sidetracked and get you looking other ways, and you can get your eyes on people and situations and things that will discourage you, if you will. But let me tell you, my name is always written in heaven. It don't matter where I'm at. It doesn't matter where I'm at. My name is still written in heaven. It doesn't matter who's around me. My name is still written in heaven. And I can be joyous. Paul and Silas, when they was in prison, come on, would strive. But look, I think they were still reminded that my name is written in heaven, Silas, and I'm going to sing and I'm going to praise God because my name is written in heaven. Amen. So, like David says, I was young and now I'm old, not seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. Just because you don't have to beg bread, don't let that be the source of your joy, but rather that your name is written in heaven. Amen. So what is your treasure this morning? What is your treasure? If I had to ask you, what is your treasure today? That your name is written in heaven. That's my treasure. Look at the one next to you and say, my treasure today, I found out, is my name is written in heaven. That's the most important thing of my life. That is worth more than any gold or silver or houses or cars or jobs or careers or friendships, that my name is written in heaven. And I don't want to do anything. I'll give up houses and cars and friendships jobs, whatever it takes, to keep my name in heaven, because that's the source of my joy. And I'll not do anything that will get that name removed from heaven, because that is my joy. So I'm going to watch my life. Amen. The treasure, our treasure is our name written in heaven. The source of our joy is that our names are written in heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. When the 70 returned again with joy, Jesus has said, don't let that be the source of your joy, but let it be that your name is written in heaven. Let that be your joy. Let that be what you're happy about. Because if you do, you'll always be joyous if you keep your name there, right? And what is joy? Huh? Nehemiah 8:10 said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So as long as I know my name is written in heaven, I can remain strong in the things of God, because I've got joy, which is my strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, you ever see Christians, so-called Christians, that walking around like they in the Mully Grubs, they forgot their name is written in heaven. Huh? The Lord looked over and said, who is that walking along so sad? Their name is here and they're all down and depressed and their name is in heaven. Look at them down there on earth. Kind of bad, isn't it? Glory. Look at the one next to you and said, don't lose your treasure. Ask him again, what's your treasure? Did they answer you? Get an answer back. Say, what is your treasure? Name written in heaven. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Oh, Brother Dave, I believe it. Once there, it's always there. Hey, you go ahead and believe it. You go ahead. You can lose your treasure. How many has ever lost something in your life? Amen. Exodus in the 32nd chapter, verse 31, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, the little hyphen in there after sin is they don't know, the ones interpreted didn't know what that means. It was he's in tongues there. And if not, what did he say? Blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I, what? Blot out of my book. I wonder this morning how many names that were written in heaven. People that you know, had joy one time, but then their joy started turning over other things, and they got more joyous over other things than they did that their name was written in heaven. And they walked off from God because of the joy of these other things, and now their name is no longer in heaven. Amen? I wonder how about it. I wonder how many people's like that. John Hagee was preaching this morning. He had a good message, just but I didn't get it all. I just caught little bits and pieces. Boy, I believe he's one of the greatest preachers of our day right here. Amen. He'll preach the truth on television. Amen. Live, going all over the world. And he'll stand there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God we need to hold him up in prayer. Amen. But he was preaching. He mentioned there he went over to this communist country one time, and he said he went in to preach, and they pulled him aside, and he says, look, he said, kind of watch what you see in here, because they're in here, they're watching and they're listening. And he said, after you leave, it'll make it hard on the pastor. He said, they won't do nothing to the pastor. What they'll do, they'll take his children. Come on. Some parents say, I don't care what they say. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to do what I, you know. And then what happens when they come take your children? What you going to do? Socialism, communism, where America's headed. Because Christian people got their head in the sand. Amen. Say, well, Brother Levi, I'd never take the mark of Antichrist. I'd never go the way of Antichrist. Hey, there's people that won't come to a church that preaches the truth of the gospel because they'll go somewhere else that's preaching lies. So they wear a little chain or something, a little dangle thing on them, you know. And because, you know, they say, well, Brother David, you know, they preach holiness there, and I don't want that. I'm going to go over here. You see how quick people to take the mark? They'll say, well, I don't want that. I want this. And they'll take the mark to get that. Sad, isn't it? He said in Psalm 69 in verse 28, he said, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Amen. Daniel said in the 12th chapter, verse 1, it's talking about the time of the end, Michael shall stand up, the great prince shall stand, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to the same time, and at the time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found, what? Written in the book. Amen. Written in the book. If you're not in the book, you're not going to be saved. You got to be in the book. If you're not in the book this morning, you better make sure before you leave here, you're in the book. Because if you die and your name's not in the book, you're going to hell. Amen. Glory. There's several meanings there in that verse I just read. First of all, the rapture of church take place for that day. Your name's got to be in the book. The ones in the middle of the tribulation that'll be sealed has to be in the book. Amen. He says in Philippians 4:3, he says, And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. I ask this morning, can the same be said about us in this building? Could the same be said that we would entreat one another whose names are found in the book of life? Amen. Can that be said about me and you today? Amen. He said in Revelation in the 13th chapter in verse number 6, he says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy. He's talking about Antichrist and the tribulation against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. I would that you would come back tonight. I urge you to be back tonight. We're talking about the difference in the Old Testament and the New. And we're talking about Muslims and the Quran. And we're talking about a little bit of the dream that I had. So I encourage you to come back tonight. It says, and it was given, verse number 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are what? Not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then he said in verse 9, if any man have ear to hear, let him hear. If any man have ear, let him hear. Amen. He said, those that is not found written in the book, they'll be deceived. And they'll take the mark and they'll serve Antichrist. Why? Because they didn't want to serve God. Jesus said, me you reject. He came to his own in John 1 and 11. He came to his own and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He came to the Jew and the Jew rejected him. And Jesus said, me you rejected, and another you'll accept. Talking about Antichrist. They'll accept him. There'll be many others that'll accept him as the Messiah. The Muslim believe that their Messiah is coming. The Jew believe that their Messiah is coming. But it's a different way than what the church believes. Amen. We're looking for the rapture. Amen. Before that great day. Glory to God. Revelation 3 and 5. He that what? Overcometh. So, in other words, puny so-called Christians ain't going to make it. You got to be an overcomer. Come on. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. In other words, so you can be blotted out, evidently, because Jesus is talking here and even said it. Evidently, your name can be in, it can be blotted out. So that you don't believe in once saved, always saved, brother? Yeah, if you live it. Come on, but your name can't get in there in 1946 and you live like hell tonight to 2010 and die and get to heaven. What I was yesterday won't do nothing. I got to be right now, right today. I got to be right now, my name there. I got to be who I am right now. As the tree falls, that's where it's going to lay. Glory to God. Hebrews 6 and 4, he says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. In other words, your name written in the Lamb's book of life. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Oh, you've tasted the things of God, the kingdom of God. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. In other words, whenever you sin, he said, he told Moses way back in Exodus, he said, the soul that sinneth, him will I blot out of the book. Amen. And when the name is blotted out, it doesn't just all of a sudden magically reappear. No. It doesn't just renew. No. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. This is a book of remembrance here. This is those that accepted Christ. And when you're blotted out, it's no more. It's like on the computer, you've hit the delete button. It's gone, baby. The computer don't remember it no more. It's gone. For them to just magically appear back. Just come in like nothing has ever gone. No, 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 no. There's going to be some repentance. There's going to be some sorrow. Godly sorrow. There's going to be some tears. Amen. In other words, you got to do it all over again. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It's like playing that Mother May I thing. You know what I'm saying? Take three giant steps. Mother May I. But if you don't say Mother May I, what do you do? You got to go all the way back. That's a little old child's game. Well, take heed. Said, except you come as a child. Amen. Revelation 3:15. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Got to be in the body to be spewed out of the body. In fact, what's he talking about? He said, before you even get to the point of sinning. In other words, the word of God, which is Jesus, he knows the intent of our heart. It's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen. Piercing even to the dividing of spirit and soul. Come on. It knows us. And when we even start, get that faraway look in our eyes. Come on. I mean, ladies, you think about it. You walking down the street with your husband, there's a woman there, and he just kind of just eyeing her a little bit. You just say, well, he's all right. I think not. Think you're a jerk of knot in his head. Listen, fellas. The we might be the head, but the wife is the neck that turns the head. You ladies missed a good amen there. Praise God, you're half asleep. Oh, help us, Lord. Glory to God. I was talking to someone one day, and I was talking about tattooing. They said they wanted one. I said, well, you know what one does always leads to two. Oh, no. Just one's all I want. Just one. Isn't that amazing? People always just want one. Just one. It'll always lead to another. No. I said, everybody ever seen? So I know someone that's got one. They've had it for a long time. Ain't got another one. I said, but every one that you can tell me just got one, I can name you thousands that's got a bunch more. It's like some people say, well, Brother Dave, I give you a scripture, once saved, always saved. For every scripture you can give me for that, I can give you 1,000 against it. In fact, I can explain the ones they do. They'll say that you're in the Father's hand and no man can pluck you out. See, eternally saved, no man can pluck you out. What about you? Ain't nobody else could. Jesus said, joy I've given to you and no man take it from you. But you can throw it down. Can't nobody make me sin. Some people say, well, they made me sin. No, you didn't. You did it because you wanted to. Amen. Not over 1 John that they use. There's a couple of scripts they use. But right before the one they use, it says, he that committed sin is of the devil. Period. I mean, let me move on. That's another message. You have to come back. Amen. Glory to God. He says, Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter, verse 21. Not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's where that 1%, I tell you about the church world, 1%, going to make it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we, you know, cast out devils. And in thy name we've done many wonderful works. But then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't remember you. You'd been deleted. Amen. Don't know who you are. You put too much emphasis on the other things rather than what you should have, that your name is written in heaven. And I don't want to do anything that could remove my name, because one of these days that roll is going to be called up yonder, and I want to be there. Don't you? Amen. You can believe it or not, but one of these days that roll is going to be called up yonder. He said in Malachi in the 3rd chapter, verse 16, it says, then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall they return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not. We'll be judges of the world. Amen. Judges of people's lives here upon this earth. That's what he's saying to us. He said in Jeremiah 2 and 13, he says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no waters. That's the world today. That's the world today, that they're turning from the things of God, the fountain of living water, and they're going after other waters. It's water too, Brother David, it's water also. But what is a cistern? A cistern is a hole that they dug out into the ground, that when it would rain, the water would run into this cavity in the ground, that they would pull water out of it. But let me tell you, there was bugs and the filth and what dung it may be on the ground, it got water into that cistern. And that's what people are living off of and trying to call it salvation. Amen. They're watering it down and changing the word. And they're forsaking the fountain of living water, the true word of God. It's an evil. Two evils. One of them is that they forsook the fountain of living water, but the second is that they're living off of these cisterns that can hold on water. No decent water. It's sad, isn't it? When it comes to, you think about it. We're talking about eternity. It's one thing to get in a car that's kind of skipping, if you're going to run up to Walmart and say, well, if it breaks down, I can call somebody and they'll come help me out. That's one thing. That's one thing to get on a bicycle and the tire's kind of bald and you're going to ride around the block, you know, and say, well, it might blow out. If it does, I'll just push the bicycle back. It's one thing to do that, but when we're talking about eternity, I mean, when you draw your last breath, friend, it's all over. You've made your choice. We're talking about eternity, and we're just... anything will be good enough. Just any old thing will not do. People are trusting in the watered down cistern water. It just blows my mind. Blows my mind. I remember one time someone left the church and sent word back and said, we got us a good pastor now. We got a good preacher. You know, trying to get other people in the church to go to hear a good preacher rather than have to listen to Brother Dave. You know, that how I get over your mind and I control your mind. I tell you all the time, check it out, don't I? Don't I encourage you to study? If I was trying to get over on you, I'd say, don't look at your book. Let me just tell you what it is. Oh, yeah, they have. Oh, we got powerful services. You know, it's Lord's really moving, you know. God's a good preacher. Went along and found out he was playing with little boys. Y'all ain't never heard that about me, have you? And you won't. It's crazy. People just, I don't understand them. I've been living among them. God says, I created them, still don't understand them. Don't understand them. It's crazy. He says, Revelation 22 and 18, he says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, that if any man add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Friends, don't people read that scripture? It's amazing. Yet they'll stand in pulpits Sunday after Sunday and preaching to people, encourage them to get them another book that takes away some of the very scriptures I've read to you today is not in their books. Who do you think it came from? Who's inspiring that? Is that inspired by God? Is that preaching that whatever feels good, do it? Or preaching away from holiness and righteousness as taking away from the things of good, God? Is that inspired by God? Oh, but Brother David, they got crowds. Crowd never impressed me. I've been in crowds. Didn't impress me. Amen. Revelation 20 and 11, he says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. What are we talking about? We're talking about the source of our joy today. I mean, he's glad your name's written in heaven. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books. How many books? That's two, right? He said in Psalms 56:8, he says, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book, my works? One of them is the Bible. One of them is the book of your life, written down, is being recorded. Even this service is being recorded in it. And then it goes on and says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the what? The books, the two books, the book of your life and the Bible is what you're judged by. And then your name, when you accept Christ, is in the book of life. But it'll be open at judgment. This is the judgment of sinners. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead. Let me stop right here. I said the book of your life and the Bible, it'll be the original. Because it said, my word is forever settled in heaven. He's got the original. All right, let me go on. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And listen to verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm glad my name is in that book today. I'm glad my name is in heaven. I am so joyed today to know that day I knelt down at that altar. My name got written in heaven and it's still there today. I'm so happy about that. I ain't got to go to hell. I ain't got to go to the lake of fire. My name is written in that book. Because he said, whosoever's not is going to the lake of fire. So my name's in there. I ain't got to go. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. Now, if your name's not there this morning, I'd be looking like some of you looking. Amen. Great God. God is so good to us. God is so good to us. Coming to a close, listen. Revelation 21 and 27. And there shall in no wise enter into, what's that word? It. He's talking about, in this chapter, the new heaven and the new earth. The rapture of the church has taken place. Brother David and all of us are gone. Is that right? All right. The tribulation takes place. 7 years. Jesus comes back with us saints. The battle of Armageddon has taken place. 1,000-year millennial reign takes place. What happens? Brother Steve talked about it. This whole world being renovated by fire. Noah was water, but fire this time. The 1,000 years will be the fire of God cleansing this earth. Everything that even has a sin look nature represent will be consumed by fire. Every honky-tonk, every piercing joint, every tattoo parlor, every abortion clinic. Come on, come on. Everything that tries to defy the creation of God. That's where it all, that's what those things do. It tries to mar the creation of God. We are made in God's image, and Satan don't like the way you're made, and he wants to make a mockery out of you. By fire to be cleansed, we be catching all the demons and casting them into the lake of fire, cleansing this place, getting it ready. Then Satan will be loose for a little season to go out and deceive the natural, some of the natural people that won't like the way Jesus is setting the kingdom up. Huh? Through 1,000 years, they'll have to serve him. But at the end, they'll have a choice. The natural, not us. And then, how long is a little season? Nobody knows. Then the battle of Gog and Magog. How fast will that be? Armageddon is one day long. Battle of Gog and Magog is, how many has ever seen lightning? It's fast, isn't it? That's how long the battle will be. He'll get a few people to go along with him, gather around, you know, Jerusalem and say, hey, let's go take over. You know? And God will send fire from heaven. Lick him up and cast him into the lake of fire. Then he said, I, John, saw the holy city Jerusalem coming down from heaven as a bride adorned. What is this holy city of Jerusalem? It is shaped like a pyramid, and it's 1,500 miles that way. And it's 1,500 miles that way. And it's 1,500 miles that way. And it's pure glass. Hallelujah. Come on. And God is going to be the light of that city. Jesus is going to be the light of that city. We have no need of no light for that city. It's going to be pure, and the righteous will go there and be there. I'll be there. You'll be there in this new city. Why? Because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there that day. Because my name is written there. Woo! Verse 27, he says, those coming instruments. There's somebody in here. I guess it ain't. There he is. Okay. Yeah, I forgot about guitars. Please, sorry. And there shall in no wise enter into it. What? The new city Jerusalem. Anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I ask you this morning, is your name there? Brother Dave, I believe it is. No, any what I ask you. I ask you, was it there? You could die today. While we've been in this room here for this hour and few minutes, All over this world, people have been dropping dead. Boom, 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 boom. Some of you going to a funeral this afternoon. The man was prepared to go because he's praying to God, you know. He got his wife having a chest pain, got his wife to pray. They prayed a little bit and got through. He said, pray again. They prayed again and got through. He said, pray one more time. And she laid hands on his chest. We breathed three breaths and he's gone. Stepped over into eternity, friends. No longer here. Done made a decision. Just stepped out into eternity forever. I'm saved and hell scares me. I'm saved and the lake of fire scares me, friend. And I'm saved. The good news today is you don't have to go there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That morning he dealt with me. I had a choice to make. I didn't have to come. He didn't twist my arm. Brother Gerald, he didn't beat me over the head. He didn't drag me. But he put his loving arms around me. And he invited me to come. Sister Basil, I'm so glad I got up that morning. I'm telling you, I'm so joyed this morning because of that, what I did that day. That's the source of my joy. I got up and I came down. I believe as the Holy Ghost was dealing with my heart, I believe they had to pin there waiting to see what I was going to do. That's what's happening right now. It's going to see what you're going to do. And I got up and I came down and I asked the Lord to forgive me my sins. God, forgive me. I accept what Jesus did for me. And I'm telling you right then, the angels began to rejoice in heaven. Heaven broke out in a shout and my name got written in that Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm so glad that it's still there this morning. I'm so glad, Brother Jerry, that it's still there this morning. You let me tell you, if I don't see you tonight and I go on and I leave this world, let me tell you, my name is in heaven. And I hope every one of you can stand and say, hey, Brother Dave, I was planning on coming back tonight, but if something happens and I don't make it back, and I leave this world and I step out to eternity, I want you to know, Brother David, my name is written there. And I'm going to take it this morning as I've been preaching. I'm sweating, I'm preaching, I'm hollering, I'm pleading for your life. That if you get up and you walk out of this building and you don't come down here, that's what you're telling me. You said, Brother Dave, everything is all right. But if it's not, I want you to get up right now and I want you to come. And say, Lord, I want to make sure my name is there and I want to accept Jesus in the full part of my sins. Lord, I want my name written there. I want to make sure it's there. Can you just check and see? Amen. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready to respond? Are you ready? On three, here we go. One, two, three. Stand all over this building. Come on. Come on. You need to come. So, Lord, I just want to make sure, God. Lord, I want my name there. I want, God, forgive me for trusting in materialism and just the fact I'm a Christian, Lord, is my joy. God, the fact that my name is written there in heaven is the source of my joy. Hallelujah. Would you come? Lord, I want to make sure my name is there. Lord, I want my name there. God, make sure it's there. Lord, I accept Jesus Christ, the full part of my sins, God. Wash away, Lord, all my sins. God, forgive me today. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Would you come? Any others? Come on. Lord, I want to make sure my name's there because I want to enter that city. I want to get into that city, God. And the only way I know, Lord, is that my name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Others, you need to come and pray today. Lord, I want to make sure. I want to make sure my name is there.
My heart to fear,
yes, Lord.
And grace, my fears, really.
Yes,
Lord.
How precious, precious.
Lord, thank you for these that's come today. Lord, encourage them today, Lord. God, that their names are there through the blood, that precious blood of Jesus Christ is what puts them there. I'm so glad that that blood was applied to my life. Lord, I thank you for the blood that's being applied today. I thank you for the assurance, God, that you are in our lives. And snares I had already come. 'Tis grace that brought me
verse 4.
When we bend that 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less days to
You know, we're talking about our names being written in heaven. You know the story of Jacob and Esau, and how Esau came in hungry and he sold his birthright for that little bowl of pottage. He sold that birthright for that little bowl of pottage. The Bible said that he sought with tears even, but God hated Esau because he sold out. There's a lot of people that had their name there, but they sold out. How does that make God feel? I want my name there, don't you? Are you selling out for other things? Is your name in heaven? Don't leave here this morning if your name is not written in heaven. Friend, that's the source of your joy. That's what will keep you coming back time and time again to the Lord and learning more of the love of God. That's what will make you witness to others and do a work in the kingdom of God. The joy that your name is written in heaven. Yes, Lord.
Verse 4
one more time.
And when